This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. It's the evening edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra. Now, Generation Z is the first generation to be born into a digital world. What distinguishes these adolescents from those of every other generation is that they are the most electronically connected generation in history.
That's right. Meanwhile, in 2009, social researchers and sociologists claim that babies born into the new Generation Alpha, that's dubbed Generation A or Gen A, will be the most formally educated generation in history. So looking at, you know, say how the iPad has become this generation's first toy, Gen A has already been deemed to be the most materialistic generation by far.
Well, the question is, how do we welcome these new generations who are more technologically savvy than the previous generations, and how will their presence affect the dynamics of our society? In the studio with us is Paul Kam, founder and managing director of the Jungle Group of Companies. He's also a columnist with The Star and Brito Harian, as well as Ahmad Fakhri Hamza. He's a speaker, motivator and author. He's also the co-founder of Cool Mom Super Dad, which is a parenting resource center. Folks, welcome to the studio.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Now, I mean, we've been throwing out all these letters, Generation Y, Z. I mean, I didn't even know that we're just going back to Generation A. But do all these labels make sense in terms of how we sort of categorize the different generations of society?
I think we need to recognize that when we grow up, there's two things that influence our life. It's nature or nurture. Nature is your DNA. You can't change that. Blue, white colors, and but the nurturing bit where the external environment is going to influence and change you. Mm-hmm. And as we go through the different era of the world, and when situation change, behavior change. It's not only about the infrastructure. It's not only about the technology. It's also about how we change the perspective. And therefore, different generations, veterans, for instance, during the war, they talk about nation building, they talk about Merdeka, and they talk about pride. And that's where they are grown up. And they're willing to take the sacrifice for being difficult. Unlike the younger generations, they're grown up with gadgets surrounding them, everything with choices.
It's all about selfies. No substance.
So therefore, what is into them? Instant stuff. Instant Mi Maggi, instant food, instant. So things are getting much faster. So therefore, these external things is changing the behavior and the aspect of how they see themselves.
I think that's very interesting. You've pointed out, I think, two very stark different examples, and that's great. Why is it though important? Perhaps you could give us an example of how recognizing it can impact us in any way. Why?
The reason why we need to recognize these differences is that we live in a world where we are not going to survive unless we have this mutual respect and understanding one another.
Right.
Having said that, this is not a blame of saying that why did the elder generation behave that way and I can behave this way.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, all the Gen Z or Alpha, and the next one is going to be Bravo, I would reckon, it's because of the elder generation who also developing them, raising them. The ones that are bringing the iPad are not these digital babies of Gen Alpha. It's the Gen X parents and the baby boomers' parents.
Yeah,
so it's about how we cohesively, coexistently, mutually try to live in the way that it's going to be a very, a very respectful world.
Essentially, yeah. World peace.
Paul, what do you think about this? I mean, because we've been categorizing it for quite some time now, over the past 4 or 5 decades, and, you know, my grandfather, will always categorize his generation as the great generation, and I look at my, I guess, 4-year-old nephew, and, he's going to be part of this Generation A.
Alpha.
Yeah, and it's just quite startling about the future that he's going to have.
I think it's really important, especially in terms of the business environment. Main reason why we categorize all these generations is so that we can make business more efficient, right? And in terms of an organization, if we understand that there are many, many generations working there, the key fundamental of a business becoming efficient is how the people operate. And if your baby boomer does not understand what the Gen Z actually is or what will motivate them, how do you motivate your staff to progress? So in terms of these areas, we tend to categorize them so that we can better understand and better create policies and work systems that match to the various generations around them.
And so, but how accurate do you think some of these key characteristics are when we're describing baby boomer or Gen X or Gen Y or Gen
that's
Z?
That's the scary thing, because for a long time, I was telling a lot of my clients that, look, let's not generalize. Let's not say Gen Y is like that, Gen X is like that, or Gen Z is like that.
Yes.
But over the course of more and more discussions and more exposure towards these people and these generations, actually it's pretty accurate. And this generalization is across the globe. It's not just in Malaysia or in Asia.
Well, let's get more into that. You know, bye-bye millennials, hello Generation Z, Gen A. We're speaking to Paul Kam and Ahmad Fakhri Hamza about this issue. We'll be right back on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening, it's the Evening Edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra, and in the studio with us is Paul Kam, founder and managing director of the Jungle Group of Companies. He also is a columnist with The Star in Berita Harian, as well as Ahmad Fakhri Hamza, speaker, motivator, and author of Cool Mom Super Dad, which is a parenting resource center. We're speaking about understanding Generation Z or Gen Z and Generation Alpha.
Yeah, that's right. So let's go through that for a little bit for the uninitiated, myself included, you know, to be fair. Tell us, what are these characteristics of baby boomers? So we're talking about X, Y, Z, and Alpha specifically today. Yeah,
if you stretch further, the much earlier in the 1900, they are called the silent generations. You don't hear about them before 1932.
Right.
So then because we don't hear very much about them. So then human behaviorists and scientists, they start to then categorize, is what Kam was saying about how they look at the behaviors, the demonstrable etiquettes that they do on a day-to-day life. So we got the veteran, which is 1946 to 1964. Mm. That's from the war. You know what they are, how they behave. They're tough. They are really have lots of patience. And in those days, your games is the nature. You don't have anything wired. Technology was just there. And by the way, there's no TV. So then what did they do? The veteran, no electricity at night. So, boom, we have a lot of babies. America alone has 70 million babies.
That's the best analogy I've had about the baby boomers ever. Just, you know, no, we don't have enough light.
No,
it's a bit cold.
What do you do?
And what do you do? Boom, have some babies.
Blackouts. Remember?
Oh, dear.
So that's 1946 to 64. Baby boomers starts to emerge. And this is where, again, focus is on success. Focus on education. That's where your success. 64 to 80s, you got the Gen X, latchkey babies. And these are people who start to emerge. Parent, husband and wife starts working. The divorce rate and that kind of stuff is happening. These are the group, actually, they are demanding in the current world of the new way of working, you know, teleworking, these sort of things. But they couldn't get it because technology wasn't there. It was only what? Atari and Pac-Man and all those old stuff, 286.
Wow.
But 1980 onward, that's where the Gen Y starts to grow. Now, Gen Y, we categorize as two, the before internet and the after internet. So 1980 to 1995. So what is happening then? Gen Y is to me the steroid version of Gen X.
Wow.
They want everything fast. They want everything now. It's called instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
No longer, you know, why do you have to wait for being, you know, if you want to go thin and nice and sexy, you just get the pills now. You can do that, you know, Botox and all those kind of stuff. So things are happening much faster. The world is moving very fast. So Gen Y suddenly now got almost what they wanted. They can do teleworking. They're not interested in... They have some good values, I must admit.
It's a combination of all of these sort of things. And Paul, you mentioning earlier about how, you know, when you're talking about businesses and companies and having some sort of policies that recognize or at least reflect some of these growing changes in the company, how significant is that? Because what happens if it doesn't, you know, adapt?
Well, if the business doesn't adapt, obviously it's not going to be a business for very much longer.
But you say that it's pretty accurate. Can you explain to us what that's based on?
Well, my business in terms of dealing with people all the time, we see it happening all the time. And what I was referring to was in terms of the Gen Y and the Gen Z. The Gen X is quite clear, because when we talk about baby boomers, if you talk about organization, they're looking at leaders as directors, right? What you tell me, I have to follow. Gen X is beginning to find that, okay, I still have to follow instructions, but I would like my voice to be heard. Gen Y is saying, let me speak.
And what do you think spurred that change about I want to be heard for Gen X?
Exposure, I guess, and better education system. The fact that they understand now that, look, I've got a little bit more technology than you, and I've got a bit more education than you, maybe I've got something good. But there's still that issue where I will not fight with somebody more senior than me. If we move down the generations, you've got Gen Y. Gen Y is more vocal and more open to it. With Gen Z, it's totally open. This morning, I was just giving a talk to a bunch of 16-year-olds, and they're like the border of Gen Zs, right? And when I finished the talk, this guy just came up to me and says, well done. That was a pretty good talk. You were very engaging.
Did that surprise you?
That surprised me. But then knowing that it's from a Gen Z, they treat everybody as their equal.
Right. In terms of giving reference to other folks, all the barriers are down.
All the barriers are down because they don't have any issues. They work on the internet. They deal with people all over the world. Most of them are in business themselves.
Yeah.
So as far as they're concerned, age is not a barrier.
You know, looking from that angle, you know, the baby boomers or Gen X has diaries that they will keep and no one shall see my diary. It's top secret. But look at Gen Y and Z. If they don't like someone or they have a crush on someone, post it to the net, see how many likes and what are the comments and feedback. So you can see how open they are, how blunt they are, and how they look at things differently. One of the characteristics of Gen Y that people are saying is that they are the trophy children. They're being recognized. You could watch. You go to their houses. You could see the lots of medals and trophies they won. Recognized. They really thrive to be recognized.
How is it something like this can... I mean, sometimes we describe it as a generation, and that's what we're doing, but it cuts across all sorts of different cultures and countries and continents. I mean, why are we able to do that?
I think we must recognize and accept the fact that the world is becoming more global, less is borderless, and it's more seamless. You're so much connected. Things happening, you know, just in minutes of seconds, you know, the WhatsApp will appear that something's happening out there. So these events, these situations, and I must admit that technology has made the difference. This is the new cutting edge where it has changed the way we are. 10, 20, 30 years ago, you know, anyone can say something, no one can verify. But now it's a show me world. It's no longer tell me world.
Right. So this, you know, this idea of hierarchy or the lack thereof, how would you say the world, maybe just educational institutions, for example, is responding to it? Are corporations generally open, to this way of thinking?
Are organizations generally open to this? I think it's going to be a tough question because if we recognize working in an organization, there must be a hierarchy, right? In some form or other.
Absolutely.
But there must be a platform as well for people to speak up. And the education system now is moving towards children being encouraged to speak up and voice their opinions.
Yes. So how does that work in a traditional, perhaps a formal setting, like you would have in any regular office?
Yeah, that's where the challenge comes in.
Yeah.
So policies and forums or systems has to come into play where there is opportunity for people to speak up, for the new generation to speak up and to be guided towards how they speak. For example, I've got three Gen Zs working with me on internship. Their parents send them to me. And the first few times, they would come up to me and talk to me as if I was just another guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the boss of the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I was taken aback when this guy came up and says, Paul, can we just leave the plate there? And I'm like, okay, do that.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody else, and this was another friend, a baby boomer, stepped in and says, excuse me, do you know who you're talking to? This is your boss. And says, yes. And says, well, in an organization, there is a hierarchy. And we're not talking about hierarchy because you must follow the rules. It's because you learn respect.
Hmm.
So now we bring in the areas of values of respect and...
It sounds so awkward at the same time, right?
Yes.
Because you have, exactly, in that instance, three generations speaking almost in different languages.
Yeah. Yeah. But the beauty of it is Gen Z is very open to listen to things like that.
Yeah. I think one of the main driver that is focusing in the business and corporate organization is the drive for talent. You're looking for the smartest, the one that can really delivers. And that's where your value that can change, a game changer in your organization. And if you ignore these people, if you neglect them, if you think that you can bulldoze your way, you can't survive.
Absolutely. That's a big warning, isn't it?
We're speaking about generations of the past, present and future. We'll be right back on the evening edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening, I'm Ezra Zayed.
Good evening, I'm Caroline O.
And this evening we're understanding Generation Z or Gen Z and Generation Alpha. With us in the studio is Paul Kamp, founder and managing director of the Jungle Group of Companies. He's also a columnist with The Star and Brita Harian. Alongside him is Ahmad Fikri Hamza, speaker, motivator and author, as well as CEO of Cool Mom Super Dad, a parenting resource center. And earlier we were speaking about all of the different dynamics in the workplace. What about the family dynamics at home? Has that changed parenting styles, how a parent actually treats their younger loved one?
You know, that's interesting when you say that. You looked at the paradox of the baby boomers parent that sends their children to school, mm-hmm. and they just trust the teachers and say, teacher, this is my son. Can you please take care of him? Make sure he become a human being. That's it. He leaves the teacher peacefully ever after. Look at the current now. If you touch my children, Gen X will say, talk to my lawyer. Mm. So that's a contrast in terms of how parents are looking the way we are. That's number one. Number two, you cannot raise children the way your grandparents or your parents raise you. In those days when you ask questions to the parents and you say, and what do they say? Children are
seen and not heard.
Yeah. So therefore, go far, go play around, go jump to this river. But nowadays, if you try to do that, it's okay. I can go to Mr. Wiki. I can go to Mr. Google. They get all the answers. So what we are saying now is that younger generation, they have good content, but they don't know the context. Hmm. They have good output, but they don't know the outcome.
I mean, there's almost no filtering element to it because it used to be that there were so many filters that you would say four things and you sort of figure it out along the way. But now it's just a stream of ideas and consciousness.
So as parents, the way I look at it is that we are the one who connects the dot. They're good in each of the dots that they are doing, producing and looking at. They're accessible to information. You can imagine in a meeting room, mm-hmm. as you were talking about it, the subject in the presentation, they already access to that in the Google and okay. they say, oh, by the way, that thing is no longer true. And so you got caught because they are accessible. But the point is that we as adults, we have the bigger picture to explain to the younger ones the impact, the consequence, and the challenges that they will face. Then.
It has largely changed the role of parenting. It certainly sounds like it takes away a lot of different responsibilities. What else goes in place?
It takes away a lot of responsibilities. Let me give you an example of this morning. It's very interesting. I was asked to give a talk on chasing a dream.
Yes.
It's supposed to encourage the children to dream big and be successful. And I related the areas of values, the importance of having values of honesty and integrity and humility in achieving success. At the end of the talk, this kid came up to me and he asked me a very, very deep question. I didn't even know whether I answered him rightly or not. Says, most people can succeed just by working really hard. And sometimes you may bend the rules a bit and earn money, right? And that's success. That's how we measure success. So why do you ask us to keep to values? What is it there, if there's no one watching, to make you stick to the values? Hmm. How would you answer something like that?
And
this is from a 16-year-old.
Yeah, 16-year-old. There you go. Right.
Yeah. No, I mean you sort of hear those, and you've seen these as well. So it's like those questions that people ask you. You know, would you treat somebody nicely if nobody was watching you? Right. It's pretty much the same thing.
I was thinking.
What was your answer though? Just very curious.
What was your vague answer that you provided?
Well, of course, I went round the bush a lot of times.
Very nice.
But I did tell him. I said, at the end of the day, it's what we want to perceive ourselves as, mm-hmm. what we want to people to know us as. And I gave him the example that if my face came out on the newspaper or on TV, what would people be saying? Oh, that's Paul and he's a crook. Or that's Paul and he's a right upstanding citizen. You get what I mean? And I said, at the end of the day, it's up to us to decide what sort of values we want to push.
It seems like each generation to some degree is an amped up, a liberalized version of the previous one. In, I guess, our very short experience of this particular nature, I mean, have there been generations where it's somewhat gone in the other way, where it's somewhat regressed? Because we always attribute each upcoming generation as progress. Well, not progress, but at least some sort of...
a better version of the past.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I guess there's always progress, and it depends on which area you're looking at. As Ahmad rightly said, there's no good or bad. Each generation is a product of the previous. You know, so it's difficult to say, if you look at technology and ideas that are being produced, Gen Z will obviously have a million more ideas than anybody in the previous generations. But if you look at values, could they be less focused on that? Is it because we didn't teach them enough, or is it because the internet does not talk about values all the time? It just talks about material wealth. It talks about how to achieve new gadgets or get famous. But nobody talks about, oh, let's be good. Hmm. So it's a difficult thing to talk about.
Yeah, I think the responsibility of the older generation in maintaining humanity and the civilization of the goodness of staying in this world is to continue to pass on the baton of the good values, the filial piety in the culture, for instance, the respect for the elders, the value of friendship, you know, the value of trust. These are all embodied to be a human being. You can't take away from that. But I'm going to tell you, the alpha is going to change because of the environment subjected to them. But if we at home, if we as neighbors, as friends, colleagues, uncles, and believe that these values must be protected, safeguarded. And I think for them to grow, because we've been there, we've done that, but they have yet to be there and done that.
But isn't it a case that, you know, upcoming generations or Generation A or Z or A, wouldn't they just embody and be the culmination of all of these previous things rather than being something that is escaping them? Because that seems to be the understanding
as
of
it.
As
in, it's being diluted as you go along, it feels?
Where in fact, because, you know, upcoming generations are so much more adept at downloading and doing things simultaneously, wouldn't it just be part of their DNA?
It would be part of DNA, but I think what we need to look at is the next generation is always the outcome of the things that the previous generation does. In Gen Y, the focus has always been on the bigger values, the environment, the community service, and that's something that's really good, right? Because Gen X always says we don't take care of the environment enough, but we never actually do it. Gen Y has to act on it. Now, Gen Z is saying, you take care of the environment, but my parents are struggling to feed themselves because there's all this economic instability and stuff like that. So they're back to the outcome. The outcome is, I've got to make sure that I take care of myself first before I think about the environment. And why should I bother about the environment? Because my Gen Ys are doing that. So that's not the role I play.
Goodness. Doesn't it make you a little bit confused about what you're supposed to be doing in society? If it takes a village to raise a child, we'd be terrible parents.
Well, let's wrap this up because, you know, technology seems to be the driver for so much change in society. I mean, what do we put, you know, the key drivers in the next few generations?
I want to just sort of reframe that technology is an enabler.
Right.
Yeah, it's that enables us to become better people, to be progress and develop better. But what I wanted to say is that there are some core values that shall never be taken away because that makes us human being. That's what humanity all about. And whatever changes that's happening around us, whatever challenges that all of us has to face, the human factor of being resilient, patient, perseverance, these are the ones who are going to make us the better generation in future. And I think each generation owes to one another. They learn mutually one another. Younger generation learns about patience, whereas older generation, let's work to be a bit more faster, because we can't wait for things to happen just like that. So I think at the end of the day, for us to make this world a better place to stay, is to stay positive, to mutually respect one another, and to believe that each strength that each generation has is indeed going to strengthen us rather than to divide us.
It's very inspiring.
Well, on that note, we've been speaking to Paul Kam and Ahmad Fakhri Hamza about the generations of the past, present, and future. If you missed any portion of this program, you can download the podcast at www.bfm.my. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.